Tonight we're going to move into a new section on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We've spent quite a bit of time on the fruit of the Spirit. I love that study. I wrote a book several years ago, and I've taught the fruit of the Spirit here a couple of times. So it's a subject that I think is really neglected in most Baptist churches today. So I want to spend a considerable amount of time on that. Now tonight we'll probably just do 2 points tonight. But again, this is something that you rarely ever hear anybody preach about or teach about. And that is the sins against the Holy Spirit. The persons of the Holy Trinity each have a distinct work to do in the grand and glorious work of redemption. The Father chose us before the world began and decreed everything that would come to pass in time. God the Son agreed to be our Redeemer, our substitute in the covenant of grace. The Father gave Him a great number from every nation, from every kindred, from every tongue and people in all of the world. And Jesus Christ entered into covenant to become a man, to live a perfect life in that human body, and to offer Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. It is His blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant, that puts away our sins, that blots out our transgressions. And then the work of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, people don't say anything about the work of the Spirit in the covenant of grace, but in that eternal covenant, before the world began, before there was time or space or matter, when God alone dwelt in solitude, the Holy Spirit agreed to regenerate all that the Father chose, all that the Son died for, not only regenerate, but then immediately give the gifts of repentance and faith and begin indwelling each one of God's dear children. He is the earnest of our inheritance, securing the fact that we're going to make it to glory because we've been bought with a price and we're indwelt by the Spirit. Each person of the Trinity is active in the grand work of redemption. And because their work and mode of manifestation is different, we find that sins can actually be perpetrated against the separate persons of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has the particular work of dealing with men's hearts and bringing them to receive the saving benefits of Christ's work. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't believe. Without the Holy Spirit, you would not have a desire to be holy, to be sanctified. You wouldn't have any desire for the Word of God. That is all the work of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He deals with people inwardly to conform them to Christ and move them to obey the Word of God. He indwells each and every individual believer. Whether you're in a church or whether you're not in a church, if you're saved, the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Without the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. But He dwells in every child of God, crosses all denominational boundaries. But He does dwell in a special way in the Lord's churches. In fact, he is the invisible administrator, if you will, of the Lord's church. He convicts the unsaved, and he works on the hearts of sinners. I believe he makes people aware of their sin, even people that aren't saved. Because the Bible says, and Jesus said, that he would convict the world of sin and of righteousness. And because of his work in our lives and in our midst, the Bible mentions certain sins that are committed against him as he carries out his special work. And so tonight we're going to consider at least two of those sins as they're presented in the Scripture. We may go farther. We'll just see how things go. And I pray that you and I would be more sensitive to sin, to sinning specifically against the Holy Spirit. Now, turn with me in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 4. Now, this was quite one of the most amazing demonstrations of the power of God in the New Testament. And it's the story, the account of Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Ghost. They lied, and you're going to notice something when we get into this. Now, I've already alluded to this when I taught on the deity of the Holy Spirit, but tonight you'll get a little bit of refresher on that. You'll see where he is identified as God. But look here in Acts chapter 4, and we'll look at the setting of this story. Look at verse 33. Great things are happening to this New Testament church. The power of God is in this church. People are being saved. Souls are being converted. They were being persecuted, but their prayers were so powerful that God overcame their enemies for them. And it says in verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." What a grand testimony for a church to have. For great grace to rest upon a New Testament church as they strive to preach the gospel and carry the truth to all the world. May this be true of us, that great grace would be upon us as we do this work. It says in verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold." There were people who were willing to give up their wealth in order to make sure that people would have enough to eat, a place to live. Because I'm going to tell you something. When God began to work, this was so revolutionary, so radical, that these people oftentimes lost their livelihoods. They were persecuted. They were hated. They were despised wherever they went. But they stayed the course. But they were committed to one another. And there were people that decided that they were going to sell their land or their house and give it to the church. Now, don't worry, we're not going to have give it to the church Sunday. Give everything you got to the church Sunday this week. But this shows you how serious these people were about advancing the work of Jesus Christ. Well, once they sold their possessions, verse 35, "and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Boy, they trusted those apostles, didn't they? The hand of God was on them, and they trusted those men. And Hoses? I don't know how to pronounce that. Hoses, who by the apostles was, let's go with that, Barnabas. Let's go with that. Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You talk about a preacher giving everything he's got. Barnabas, the missionary, sold everything he had and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, mind you, this wasn't required of everybody in the church. They did this voluntarily. They did this of their own volition. So what's the problem? Well, chapter 5 starts with that ominous word of contrast. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now what's the problem here? Other people were saying, I'm going to sell everything I got. I'm going to lay it all at the apostles' feet. I want this to go to the work of the Lord and the support of this body. And Ananias and Sapphira said, hey, they did this privately. They said, we'll sell it and then we'll keep some of it back. Okay? And we won't tell anybody. It's just between me and you, Sapphira. This little thing we're going to do, because we don't want to give everything, do we? She said, no way, Ananias. So, what's the sin? If they would have just said, hey, we're going to sell this, but we're not giving everything. We're going to give part of it. You know what? I believe that everybody would have thanked God for them. But they weren't being honest. They wanted the applause of men. And let's face it, folks, that's in everybody. You got to crucify that. This desire to be seen and praised of men. That's what they wanted. Now here's what's amazing to me. This manifests the power of God. And this is why you better be really careful when you say you're going to do something for the Lord. And you make a vow. It said, now remember, nobody in the church knew what Ananias and Sapphira. Nobody else even gave it a thought. They thought they were given everything. But Peter said, Ananias. Now, this is a pretty bold preacher. To say to one of the early church members, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That's what this apostle, this preacher of the gospel, said to Ananias, who was a member of this church. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And to keep back part of the price of the land, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou wast not lied unto men. Notice what it says. But unto God. When you lie to the Holy Spirit, you are in essence lying to God, the third person of the sacred Trinity. Peter Peter had, God gave him a special knowledge of this situation. I don't have that kind of knowledge. I don't have this ability. This kind of special knowledge was given to the apostles on different occasions. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. He didn't make any defense. He fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Can you imagine? There's a pretty good gathering of people. Peter calls out Ananias in front of everybody. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You said you were going to give all. You kept back part of the price. Satan's filled your heart. He fell down dead. And that brought a solemn fear among the members of that church. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Think about that. Dragging somebody out of the assembly and going out and burying him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after. Now that's a pretty long church service. About 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She comes in thinking, everybody thinks I'm really spiritual. That me and Ananias gave all of our everything we had, they think we're really something. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. This was the consequence for conspiring to lie to the Holy Spirit and to the church body at large. In my Bible, I've got written right there by verse 10, is this the sin unto death? Because we're not told that she wasn't saved or that Ananias wasn't saved. It just says that they were guilty of lying to the Holy Ghost. I don't know whether they were saved or not, but they were members of that church. They had made the pretense of having given all so that they may receive honor for a sacrifice they didn't make. They are the parents of all those who seek praise for a consecration that they do not possess. That's pretty solemn, isn't it? The carrying of such deceit into the church is a sin against the Holy Spirit. To try to deceive the church is to attempt to deceive the Spirit, who is the omniscient administrator of the assembly. I think that men forget that to trifle with the Lord's church is to trifle with God. In carrying out their sin, Ananias and Sapphira were tempting God. Peter said that. And their fate stands as a warning to all who would follow in their steps. It is a solemn responsibility to serve the Lord. And it's a horrific sin to lie to the Spirit of God and to lie to the Lord's church in an attempt to deceive. May God rid us of this wickedness. He did it in a powerful demonstration of judgment for all to see. And I pray that that never happens in Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. Well, I thought I was going to cover two, but I'm only going to cover one. It's 8 o'clock. I want you to want more. So we'll get into this next Wednesday night, because I want to spend more time on the next sin.